Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Zozo, how's life on the floor?
Still on the floor, mate. I haven't worked out a setup where we're not recording podcasts on the floor yet.
No, I mean, my whole life is on the floor now anyway, because I have no sofa.
What has he done?
Well, we're having some building work done. Well, it's supposed to be this week. It's actually next week now. But we're having some walls down. And yes, I understand you need to clear the room. It gets very dusty. Yeah. But James, Judgy James, decided to get rid of all of our sofas and comfy chairs. So three just disappeared yesterday, gone, and didn't think about the fact that it's Christmas coming up, we might want to entertain, the fact that we might just want to sit on the sofa and watch TV.
I mean, I've got a theory about Judgy James. I reckon he's doing like ayahuasca or like some sort of like mind-altering drugs when you pop out. Like, oh my God, we've got to get rid of the sofas. Like, just put a sheet over them.
he did buy a breathing bench, which I'll update you all on, and he sits on it each night and does an hour of breathing. So maybe we're joining some kind of cult. I'm not sure. I just don't know about it yet. Anyway, I'll let you know.
How about you're already in the cult and James is the leader and you haven't got a clue? I'll come to get you, mate. Don't worry.
How are you? Don't make me jealous of you sitting anywhere comfy. I'm glad you're sitting on the floor.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm really good. Do you know what? I didn't go to work on Sunday for the first time in a year.
Oh my God.
I took the day off. Me, old workaholic over here. And it felt so nice for loads of reasons. Firstly, just to help Dozer out and be with him and the kids on a Sunday. And secondly, I don't know, it just felt really nice, like an old life where I actually enjoyed a weekend. Obviously, yeah. If anyone from Hearts listening, I love my job. I love working Saturdays and Sundays. But you know what? Yeah, it was really nice. And we went for a lovely walk down to Frensham Little Ponds, which is our absolute favourite. And they were filming there. Henry Cavill is there. They were filming The Witcher.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Have I told you about my Henry Cavill story?
No, you haven't. But
I'll tell you off
me.
Air, I think.
Oh. Do you know what those though? It's really interesting that you say about the weekend. And I think, you know, you can have a partner or you can work Monday to Friday, you know, all the hours. But there is something about the weekend. Yeah. And I know that I feel on a Saturday, James works on a Saturday, obviously. I really hate it. It's my worst day of the week because you feel like everybody else is, you know, doing family stuff, especially at the moment. They're all together. And you're not. And yeah. My heart goes out to you. I know you love your job, but it's a weird thing actually, working on the weekend.
Yeah, thank you. And also, you know, you're feeling it because you're the partner that's left at home having to deal with the kids, and it doesn't feel like weekends are for, you know, mucking in together and going to the fucking park and doing all those kind of things.
Again.
But yeah, it was lovely. We had a really nice big roast, big glass of wine, just really nice. Great. So I feel in really good shape. And without trying to nose on about running, because some of our listeners aren't into running, that's absolutely fine. But I've got back into it and it's sort of sorting out my head mentally because obviously the gyms are closed.
Yeah, do you know what?
You're the same, right?
Don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to hate running. In fact, I used to be one of those people who would listen to someone on a podcast talking about loving running and thinking, fuck off, running is shit. Running is the worst thing. In fact, if you spoke to me on March, the day before lockdown in March, I'd have said to you that like people who like running are weird and like, I don't know, you know, they're not my people. And here I am. Weird 2020 turn me into a new person.
But please don't switch off if you're not into running. Stay with us because that's all we're going to say on the subject, okay?
Now, that's it. Yeah.
Today's guest is going to be a really, really lovely chat. We recorded it last week. And in a very sort of weird world, I actually met this guest about, I want to say like 14 years ago when she. Well, she's still a singer, a performer now, but when she was kind of living in London, she was singing lots, she was modelling. She was like the cool kid at the party. I remember seeing her once and I remember thinking, wow, what a woman. And now she's living out in the countryside. You know, she is doing loads of different things. She's written a children's book and she's a guest on the podcast. It's really, like, really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So today we're chatting to Vivi Brown.
So welcome to today's episode of the podcast. Georgia and I, again, a really lovely moment for us today because we've both admired this lady from afar for a long time. A musician, a singer-songwriter, a producer. She's now an author. She's just written a kid's book. She's moved out of London. She's living in the sticks, in her own words. Today we are joined by Vivi Brown. Or Vanessa. Do I call you Vanessa Brown? Vivi Brown.
Yeah, Vivi is cool. Thank you. Oh, lovely to meet you all. Yeah, it's lovely to be on the show. I'm really looking forward to a nice chat.
Yeah, we're so over the moon that you've joined us today. We're just desperate, aren't we, G, to get back into the studio so we can sit down face to face.
We are, and actually see people. So for those that don't know who you are and what you do, would you just give us like a little bit of a summary of what your life was like pre-kids and then sort of what you're doing now?
Yeah, so I'm a musician mainly. I was went into the music industry when I was about 17, 18 and released an album when I was 23 called Travelling Like the Light. And I guess most people know me for the song Shark in the Water. And then, yeah, I went on, I set up my own label in 2013 and started to release independently. And yeah, I've done a bit of music, a bit of modelling. I was the face of M&S for 6 years with Twiggy and Danny and done a lot of like pouting and doing lots of stuff.
And strutting.
Strutting and fashion and things like that. Did that for a good 8 years, eight, 10 years. And then I fell pregnant with my first child, Effie, and I just felt like I needed to take a little breather and have a break. I'd been touring for 10 years and kind of just consumed in that world, that sort of city life. And yeah, when I had my first, we decided to leave London and just life became a little bit more quieter and I concentrated on my being a mum, really. So yeah.
Because, I mean, you were really in the mix, weren't you? In London, living in Peckham, out and about, parties, touring. What was that decision like when you finally, you know, made your mind up together as a couple to be like, right, we're out of here, we're going?
I think, you know what, when we were in Peckham, we went to a party at the Bussey building and we just felt like we were a bit old. We just sort of thought to ourselves, all right, okay. It just was a natural feeling inside that we were ready for a new chapter. The party life just wasn't giving us the same thing. We weren't drinking and getting, you know, drunk like we did in the early stages of our, you know, our hipster life or whatever. And I just believe in life. You just naturally move through different epochs, don't you? Different stages. Mm-hmm. And they kind of come to you like a sort of whispering voice, and sometimes you just have to listen. And I think we both were ready. We felt we were ready. We wanted more space as well because London was incredibly expensive.
Yeah,
you know, spending so much money for so little. We just thought, mate, let's just check out outside of London and see what we can get. So there was a lot, lots of different different sort of dominoes that led to our decision, really. Yeah.
And so was that also the time that you decided to start a family? Did you sit down and say, right, you know, we're going to move out of London, we're going to start a family? Or how did that go?
So we talked about having a baby, and this is quite a funny story. And my husband, if he was sitting here, probably be rolling his eyes and be like, don't go into the details.
No, go into the details, go into the details, yeah.
I won't go too far. I've got a bit of a potty mouth, and it's just a very friendly family.
No. We say fuck all the time. No.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want on this podcast.
You can.
Oh, brilliant. All right. Well, so yeah, we sort of said we wanted to have a baby. We did it, had a good old time doing it. And literally, first time pregnant. Literally. No. Like, and I knew it was such a weird thing. I knew I was pregnant because I was on the train, and I came off the train and I was like, oh, something just feels really weird. So I'd never taken a pregnancy test in my life. Went to Boots, bought the pregnancy test.
Yeah.
Went to the toilet in Euston Station, and I thought, oh, it's not going to be a pregnant. Oh, it's just my womanly intuitions do that. It's probably wrong. Literally, it said pregnant, and I was so shocked. I went back to Boots and bought about 30 tests. It was like I was an octopus on the toilet, like as I was walking, like they were all like they were all sort of like littered around me, ready to go, and it was like
still in the toilet in Euston Station.
I went back second time, and then all of them, and it was the posh ones. You know, the ones that say how many weeks you are.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So I must have dropped about 100 and something pounds, and looked around the toilet, and it was just pregnant, 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 pregnant everywhere. And I was just like, yeah,
I'm definitely pregnant. Yeah, definitely pregnant. How did you feel in that moment?
Oh, it was, oh, man. It was surreal, really. It was really surreal. It was obviously joy because we talked about it. We were, you know, we were ready, but we just thought that we were going to experience months of shagging, like endless, like scheduled shagging, and you know, legs up in the air, legs up in the air, legs in the air, kind of thing. And it didn't happen like that for us, you know. First time round, second time round, we've got to be careful. So we were really happy, excited, and it was all kind of, it all just fell into place, really. We were ready to leave London, and yeah, it was great. We were such a joy, and yeah, and now Effie was born. Yeah.
And how did you how did you cope with being pregnant? Because I've met you before, long time ago, and obviously you've been in the modeling world, and I saw you at this party, and I remember thinking, wow, she's ethereal. Aww. She's so tall and sort of beautiful and kind of, you know, aww, so svelte, you know. And obviously you were modeling and performing, and it, you know, it was a lot about, I guess, when you walked into a room, you had a real presence. I remember, even though I only probably met you once, being pregnant, obviously your body changes so much. So how was that process for you, and did you cope with it okay, probably being a certain way and looking a certain way your whole life?
I'll be very honest with you, it was a difficult journey in a sense of my perception of self, especially with being in fashion. And it was a massive realization that I'd been conditioned incorrectly and had a very bad self-image of my being as a woman. And I think when you have children and when you go through pregnancy, all of this stuff, all of this like psychological stuff can sometimes just reveal itself, and you don't even realize that it's inside. You don't even realize that you have these issues. So for me, the whole weight gain journey, especially as I, you know, I love food, but in fashion, it was very much, I had a very bad relationship with food where it was very much eating. And then when there was a shoot or fashion week, you wouldn't eat to lose the weight. It was just a really bad pendulum of a lot of eating and starvation. So I found it very difficult, and I've actually found it difficult all the way through, even up to my second child, where it's only now that I'm starting to accept my new self, my new identity, my new body, and to look in the mirror and see these curves and think, no, this is fine. This is me.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been difficult. And I don't enjoy pregnancy. I know I'm supposed to be like, oh, I'm pregnant, I'm glowing, but I didn't understand what that glowing thing was. Mm. Like,
it's sweat. It's sweat. The glow is sweat, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I found it hard. I had Braxton Hicks. I was like, felt like I was on a boat all the time.
Yeah.
I found it really difficult. But I felt really blessed because I had a really good support system. And I think, that just, brings things into perspective, because some people are going through this journey without having that. So you just have to kind of like say, oh, stop moaning. I'm all right.
And you obviously you have two daughters, and you've just mentioned about sort of it taking a while to come to terms with your new body, and you kind of had the realization that maybe your relationship with your body and your eating and all that kind of stuff wasn't great until you had kids. Is that something you are very aware of, raising two girls?
Oh my goodness, that's such a great question.
Great question, G. That actually, I've got to say that. Well, yeah.
It's so good because you really do start to look at yourself
and
your kids, and how you don't want to project your bullshit on your kids, like your issues on your kids. So for me, oh my goodness, 100% fixing that broken perception of myself was so important for me to do for my children more so. And it was only, it was just recently through therapy that I feel I'm at a place now where I feel, I'm not going to do that. Like there's a real sense of peace. I just think as mothers, women, parents, it's a journey, it's a journey of us figuring it out within ourselves for our kids in a way, and for us back again for ourselves. So great question. Got to do it for the girls, and they're girls, and obviously in the media, there is a much more open attack on the perception of self to women. We are immediately put in this box where we have to validate ourselves immediately by the way that we look. And so now more than ever, I need to show my girls, you are beautiful as you are. That's such a good question.
I grew up, my mum was a model, and she was doing her thing in the 60s in London, and my mum didn't is an amazing mum, totally supportive, but was so obsessed continually through my sort of childhood and teenage years, and I've had this out with her, this isn't anything new, with how we looked. It had such a monumental effect on me as a young woman, growing up and always being worried about my weight and how I looked, and was my hair perfect? And she used to make comments about being pretty and, all this kind of stuff. And it's just going back to what you said, that relationship is so fragile. It sits on a knife edge between getting it right and actually really fucking up your kids' lives. And I think with girls, there's that added pressure, like you said, because of the way that the media portray women. It's really important to fix you before you can start trying to raise the girls and do it. Like, that's how I think about my two girls. I had to go through quite a similar thing that you did, with the eating and stuff. It's like, you just can't be projecting that stuff onto them because it rubs off.
Yeah, definitely. And even just saying comments like, oh my God, I look fat, you wear a dress and you're like, oh my God, I look fat in this. I have to sort of, if Effie was around, running around, I would just think, oh my goodness, she, they pick up so much, don't they? Like, there's things that I've said, like, oh, maybe we'll go to Legoland quietly under my breath, and she's upstairs, and she'll come downstairs four weeks later. She'll go, when are we going to Legoland? I'm like, how did you hear that? They just, honestly, they pick up everything, don't they? So, you have to be so aware of it. The self-awareness has to be so in check, doesn't it, for them?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. We read an article that you'd written about being a black woman in the countryside, and I was absolutely astonished by the stat there that there was only 2% of black British people live in the countryside. It's something that, I mean, it blows my mind, and it's something I guess I've never thought about. How do you feel, you know, raising your girls in the countryside as opposed to in a city which would be more diverse?
Well, for me, I love the outdoors.
Yeah.
I love the outdoors. I love the fresh air. And I think it's really important for our children to experience the country outdoors, the woods, yes, and things like that, and getting dirty and muddy and all those things in the country. So I experience that, and I love that, and I love the value of nature. It is definitely a complex journey, and you have to make priorities on what you want to give your children, I guess.
Yes.
And it was a really difficult decision, because on one side of me and my husband, on the one side, was like, if we bring the kids up in London, they're going to see other versions of themselves more so that potentially will give them maybe more confidence, their psyche will be filled with, you know, a sense of reassurance that they aren't other, or they aren't the only. But then I spoke to my best friend, and she's in a dual heritage marriage and got dual heritage kids, and they live in the countryside up north. And she said to me, look, what's great is that you've got your family around you, and you've got the cousins, and you've got all of those people in her life, in your children's life, that will counterbalance that lack of, that you might not see in schools. So that made me think, okay, she's going to have a rich, broad community, because she's going to have her family in her life, and we've got a really big family, with lots of cousins, and, you know, so that's great. But it has been challenging, I'm not going to lie. I walking in my village and people presuming that you're lost and you're from London, you know, what, you know, like you're not supposed to be here, like asking immediately, like, you know, how is London, or when are you going back to London, or just really odd questions where there's like a presumptuousness to people touching my children's hair, like at playgroups, like,
oh my god, what do you do when that happens?
Well, the first few times it happened, I was diplomatic, and because obviously when you're at playgroups, all the other kids are like watching as well. You've got to be an example, and, you know, you don't want to cause a scene. And you also, those mummy groups is like going into the jungle, man.
Oh,
like
you're
you're trying to make friends. So you don't want to come across as the difficult mum, or the, you know, that kind of thing. So you're balancing that as well. Don't touch that. No, don't touch the hair. No. It's sort of like
smiling at the same time.
But I think when it happened, I was at gymnastics, a soft play gymnastics. When it happened like the fifth time, I lost it a little bit. I actually put my hand in the mother's hair. I know that sounds.
You put your hand
in the person. And I moved it around and I said, oh, your hair is so soft, it's just so blonde. And in that moment she stopped and she realized, oh, hold on a second, I don't really like the way that feels. It's a violation because I've just put my hand in her hair. And two, I'm almost like petting her. Yeah. And in that moment, she immediately said, I'm really sorry.
Oh.
And it just clicked. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a balancing act. And, you know, sometimes you'll come across, you know, elderly folk in the country and you sort of have a bit more, I'm a bit more of a lead. They're from a different generation. So sometimes I've learned it's about being kind in your conversations rather than trying to be, you know, preachy, try and do it in a way of love, to create a conversation that might make them see another way. And that's worked so well. And we end up being friends and talking about it and moving forward. And, yeah, you know, that's worked well. But it's still frustrating that I have to go through that.
Yes.
That process. But take a deep breath.
We'll be right back after the short break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So welcome back, back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we? I was going to ask you actually what you're kind of doing to try and normalise it all. Like, what conversations are you having, and are you open to having conversations around it? Because what we've learned over the last however many months since the whole, you know, Black Lives Matters movement is that there's a lot of ignorance, and, you know, people aren't educated and in this area, and the conversations are uncomfortable and people don't know what to say. And, you know, Georgia and I had to hold our hands up and very much say that, you know, we're not talking to our children about race, but purely because we thought that we don't have a problem with it. So why would we even talk about if someone, you know, was black or was Asian or was white, or, you know what I mean? Like, but it's really shaken up, woken us up, I should say, in a positive way. But what conversations are you having?
Well, it's different institutions, different friends, different organizations. There's a different conversation with each. So I would say with Effie's school, for instance, country school, village school, we have really great conversations making sure there's multicultural books. Sometimes I bring books in. Some of the other parents have been great and done the same thing. Black History Month, there was very much a conversation of what's, you know, making sure what are they talking about in Black History Month this, you know, at this time, and all the other festivals and religious festivals and things that are going on. Are they making sure they're on top of those things? But Ofsted is really good anyway with monitoring those things. And I think with just friends and organisations, it's just being open. And when someone isn't sure about something, or they've said something that might be offensive but they didn't mean it, I think it's really important to approach it with a sense of openness. Because if we approach the ignorance with aggression and making somebody feel, you know, attacked.
Yeah.
I do think, even though as a black person I'm thinking to myself, well, you should really know that that's not on. If we want to move forward, it is so important to allow that openness and that learning and that change and that humility.
Yeah.
The humility on both sides to say, "Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that." You know. And I'm finding that is working for me. Even with my closest friends, they've come to me and we've spoken about things and we've actually come out stronger, you know, come out closer. So, yeah, I think it's all about moving through conversations with love and being unafraid.
Yeah.
Being unafraid to say you're wrong, or being unafraid to say this hurt me, or I find this offensive. And then in the workplace and music, and that's my industry, or obviously with the children's book, contributing to that industry, just trying to make a difference. And it doesn't matter what color you are. It's just about humanity. It's about empathy. It's about what, if I say or do this, how will that make the other person feel? And if we can all work like that, I think we're going to move forward. And everyone's reality is so different. Sometimes we think that our realities are the same as someone else's, but sometimes it's really not. And it's important for us to listen and to look at their reality and why they might feel or say what they're saying. That's what's helped me. That's really helped me a lot.
And so, you know, however many months ago, as Zoe said, there was sort of a lot on social media and in the media about the Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, there was lots of people sharing things on social media at the time. And I would say I haven't seen so much of that in the last couple of months. Do you think there has been a change since then? And things, you know, just going on behind the scenes, people having conversations in their own homes and not so publicly?
I do. I really think there's been a change. And the biggest change is that people are talking about it.
Yeah.
And it's a long process. There's a long way to go. This is not going to happen overnight. But the fact that we're openly talking about it and listening is amazing. And the fact that businesses are putting together initiatives to monitor representation, the fact that I turn Netflix on and I've noticed there's way more diversity within the programming, the fact that even Disney on the front of cartoons that have negative stereotypical connotations within their cartoons are putting a message of apology. These are massive shifts based on the fact that we are being more open about it. And that's beautiful. It's just, it's really great and positive to see. I think the more we talk, the more we listen, the more these changes will continue. And that's the difference, I think, from before.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you and get your opinion on the Sainsbury's Christmas advert. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw that.
And the backlash from people saying, I'm not going to shop at Sainsbury's because, you know, I can't identify with anybody in the advert. And then people, you know, there's been, I mean, I've got so many views on it, but I want yours first.
It's so hurtful when you see those comments. Yeah. And like my, you know, and it's not just hurtful because I'm black, because my husband's white and even he is hurt by it because it's just... Yeah. It's just so odd. There was an experiment that was carried out in the 1940s by an American psychologist. I can't quite remember how it's Brown versus Brown. There was a load of dolls, and they were black dolls and they were white dolls. And they got all the children to choose a doll which they liked. And they said specific words, and they said, okay, pretty, choose a doll. Ugly, choose a doll. Naughty, choose a doll. And 100% of the white children chose a white doll, and 100% of the black children chose a white doll.
Nice.
And the experiment was repeated in 2010.
Right.
And it was very similar results. And what it tells us is that when there isn't any representation, it has a profound effect on our children's psychological choices.
Yeah.
What they deem to be positive and what they deem to be negative. And when people say that they don't identify with an advert, because that you have to remember that for a long time, black people have been watching, or it's not even just black people, minorities.
Yeah.
Watching adverts through time, or going to toy shops, and just seeing mainly versions of not themselves.
Yeah.
So it really hurts when you hear that, because, you know, I feel for a long time we haven't seen ourselves in adverts and seen ourselves in books and toys, and we've still invested our pounds in those companies.
In the, yeah, those businesses, exactly.
In those businesses. I mean, we go shopping too.
Yeah.
You know, we need to go shopping. We need to go to Sainsbury's too. So, yeah, I think most people, though, for most people that I've met on my way, they were fine with it. I just think there's a small percentage of people who are that ignorant. But most people that I've met along, you know, they're fine with it, you know. So
what I love is how much you come at it with love, and there doesn't seem to be any anger around it, which is really amazing, because my blood like boiled when I read the comments and saw, you know, people's reactions to it, because how can you not be so furious at something like that? But I think what's brilliant, and you know, hopefully our children will see this as well, is that if we're going to make a change, we've all got to do it together, and we've got to do it with love, not with hatred and anger.
The thing that I've noticed, I mean, I am angry, but the thing that I think as a black woman, we tend to be immediately put into the box of the angry black woman. Like, if you notice, like, you know, it's a stereotype, I think, that we have anxieties about as black women. So sometimes when we see something and we're angry, it's almost like we're afraid to be angry, because we don't want to fulfill that stereotype. So I'm there's definitely anger there, but I really, really am passionate about finding solutions that are going to make, that are really going to change. And that's why I did the children's book. I was like, how can I contribute to this conversation that's going to somehow make a little bit of change? My little old me in the countryside, like, what can I do? I'm not Rihanna, but what can I do to do something? And I think little bit like this conversation today with you, these are the little things that just push little, you know, make change, talking about it and doing stuff. So I'm a bit of a chatterbox, aren't I?
No, we like it.
Tell us about the book.
Yes.
So, so the book is called Lily and the Magic Comb, and it's all about this magic comb that takes Lily to wherever she wants to go in her imagination. And it's going to be a series book, so there'll be Lily and the Magic Comb Goes to Outer Space, which is the first one. Yeah. Lily and the Magic Comb Goes Under the Water, you know, under the sea. It's a book about encouraging children that they can achieve anything. And for me, the comb is such a symbol of heritage, because as a dual heritage or black child, a lot of our identity, or a lot of their identity, is in their hair.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I want the comb represents, be proud of your identity, and with your identity, with who you are, you can achieve and go anywhere you want in your imagination. So that's kind of what the book is about, but it's wrapped up in much more, you know, fun, whimsical language for all children to enjoy. And
Well, I can't wait to read it. I mean, forget about the kids. Me and George are going to sit down.
Yeah, we will.
And read the book together. When's it out?
So the book will be available to buy on the 5th of December.
Perfect for Christmas.
Yes. So you can get the book on Amazon, Waterstones. You can get a signed book from the Woke Kids Book platform, which is wokekidsbooks.com as well. So, yeah. All available there for you, and we're so excited. Yeah.
Oh, good luck. Yes. We like to ask all of our guests, what is the best piece of advice they've ever been given as a parent, or what piece of advice would they give to their best mate who's just about to become a parent?
Be kind to yourself. That's so important as parents. The mummy guilt, or the daddy guilt, or the parent guilt, it can get strong, but in those moments when you're stressed or tired or doubting yourself or wondering, just be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, be kind to yourself.
Also, we love to ask our guests their kind of five diehard products. So just doesn't need to be kind of anything specific, but just about parenting, anything that you live and swear by.
Okay, so the upper baby pushchair, that yeah. just has lasted us. We're using the same one with our second one, and it's just so good. I just think it's an incredibly well-designed pushchair. So upper baby pushchair. If you're a new mum and you look, or parent, mum or dad or whatever, looking for a pushchair, I'd say upper baby. Second product, I would say, I don't know what the name is, but the cup, the drinking cup, that doesn't spill.
It's
a Swedish design.
Georgia, what's it called? You know.
I do know, but I don't know off the top of my head. But it's a sippy cup. I know exactly what you mean. Yes.
Yeah, it's a sippy cup that doesn't spill. And I think it's such a genius design. I just think it's small, it's simple. Yeah, it's just a beaker. All kids have beakers, but it's just, I think it's amazing.
I don't understand why all sippy cups don't leak. Like, what?
I know.
Why fucking design one that leaks everywhere in your bloody bag all the time? I'm like, oh, great. Exactly. Another thing soaking wet and it's my makeup bag. Brilliant.
Exactly. Like, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, that product is. And I'm a chuck it in the bag mum.
Yeah,
like,
we are.
I'm just like, okay, everyone get out. I'm just like throwing nappies and things. And, oh, where's the beaker? Where's the beaker? I'm that mum. So for me, having that kind of cup is like, perfect. Ella Kitchen is really good.
Yes.
It served us well during the times that we were, when we used it. I wish that I could be the blending chickpea sweet potato mum, but I tried it and froze, did the whole freezing thing, and it didn't last. Personally, for me, it didn't last long. But I wanted to try and find something near to that felt organic and healthy and pure. And Ella Kitchen's great. And I love the fact that if we were out for dinner, they can just literally, you can just stick it in, some hot water.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We love Ella's. Yeah.
Yeah, they can just eat it. They can just suck it from the pouch.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, or if you're on the go. So that's a good product.
My son, who's going to be 3 in April, basically he's like allergic to all fruit and vegetables. I mean, as in he just will not eat them. And even now I give him an Ella's pouch every single day, like a smoothie one that I know has got apples and bananas. Because, unless I just have to grate everything into his food to kind of get away with it. But at least with that, I know that he's getting something good that's organic and lovely.
Yeah, exactly. Same with Josie.
Yeah,
she's not really a breakfasty person. We try and give her porridge and she just doesn't want it, so I'll give her like a fruit baby rice pouch. Yeah. And I just know that she's when she's full up a little bit. So yeah, they're really good.
Vivi, an absolute treat to have you on. Good luck with the book. Please send us a copy, we can't wait to read it. And like, good luck with everything. We think you're an absolute powerhouse, so
thanks for having me. And I'm really, really flattered to be on the show. And lots of love. Lots of love.
And you. Bye. Bye, bye, bye.
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 Such an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Yeah, so many different bits of that conversation I think a lot of people will be able to relate to. Moving from London out to the countryside, for a lot of us, it's just about the move, isn't it? It's just about a change of life and a change of lifestyle. And I think it can be quite easy, like as white women, to not have to think about where we move to.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't think twice about moving to the countryside, other than where's my local shop and where's this. But having that feeling of not people thinking you don't belong there, and being asked if you're lost, or asking,
where's the train
London?
Station?
Yeah, it really baffles me. It's just something I'd never considered before that.
And it's amazing, isn't it? Because for me, unfortunately, if you hear somebody being you know, saying racist comments, it's quite visible, and you can say, well, I'm not going to spend any time with that person, or you know, I'm not going to look at that person. I don't want anything to do with them. But it was interesting when she said, you know, racists can wear welly boots, you know, and can have, yes, a smile on their face, but actually they can make comments which are really hurtful and really old fashioned and just really not welcome in 2020. And that's the side of, yeah, it that I find fascinating, that they're dressed up as kind of really nice, you know, smiley sort of elderly people, but actually they make really derogatory comments. And, you know, I'm not, yeah, just saying it's elderly people, but it's, you know, it's what she said. I just think there's just no place for it in society anymore. And it was really, yeah, nice to hear her saying that she has seen a movement and a change this year since the Black Lives Matter movement started, which is brilliant news.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, Zoe, but I definitely feel a lot more confident pulling people up. Like, yeah, I think in the past, if someone said something that, you know, I didn't agree with, or, you know, I thought was pretty offensive, I would maybe just let it go sometimes. I might just sort of like turn, you know, just turn my head and start another conversation or whatever. But now I definitely feel more confident to ask questions, like, you know, why would you say that? Like, you know, what makes you say that? Why do you think it's okay to say that?
And because try to educate
them. Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, a lot of it stems from like a, you know, their upbringing or whatever. But I definitely feel more confident to pull people up.
That's good. That's really good. And you know what, for us as well, we have spoken about this, that there wasn't as much diversity on this podcast as we wanted. And it wasn't even us going, oh, well, we're only going to have a certain type of person on here. It was more about opening up our circles and talking and having conversations and going there with these conversations. Because you know what? We don't find them uncomfortable. We want to have them. We want to be educated, and we want to be teaching our children the forward thinking and the correct way of dealing with these situations, so that they're not raised in the same society.
Exactly. Yeah. We want to be, you know, be part of the change, don't we? For sure.
We do. We do.
Yes.
So we're going to be back on Friday with a Q&A podcast for you. But as always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And if you could give us a 5-star, that would be amazing, because obviously that just means that the reach goes further.
Yes, exactly. More people will get to hear these conversations. And if you do have any suggestions for guests or topics that we could cover in the Friday Q&A episode, then please do drop us a message at Made by Mummers or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman. And we will see you on Friday.
We'll see you then.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.